or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. It is said that every Muni has a different angle of vision, and unless a Muni differs from other Munis, he cannot be called a Muni in the strict sense of the term. Nachasa Rishir Yasya Matam Nabhinam. Mahabharata Vana Parva 3:13-1:17. But a Stita Dhir Muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary Muni. The Stita Dhir Muni is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. He is called Prashanta Nishesha Mano Ratantara, Stotra Ratna 43, or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and has come to the conclusion that Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna, or Vasudev is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. He is called a Muni, fixed in mind. Such a fully Krishna-conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds. And he sees that his miseries, by the grace of the Lord, are minimized to the lowest. Similarly, when he is happy, he gives credit to the Lord, thinking himself unworthy of the happiness. He realizes that it is due only to the Lord's grace that he is in such a comfortable condition and able to render better service to the Lord. And for the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. Attachment means accepting things for one's own sense gratification, and detachment is the absence of such sensual attachment. But one fixed in Krishna consciousness has neither attachment nor detachment, because his life is dedicated in the service of the Lord. Consequently, he is not at all angry, even when his attempts are unsuccessful. Success or no success, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination.
So, this is genuine uplifting and educational instruction by the Supreme Authority to be steady in the face of all different circumstances, whether things are going the way one wants or things are not going the way one wants. He's always steady. He gives his best effort, and he's never disturbed. What is there to be disturbed about? He understands that he's not the doer, that he's not the controller. Why should he be disturbed if something doesn't work out the way that he might like? But he also doesn't have this idea of the way he would like, because he knows that above himself is the Supreme Controller, Ishvara Parama Krishna. So how does he know what Krishna wants? He may think Krishna wants this. Let's say we find a building. I can give you an example. We have Vibhishan here, he remembers. When we were in Israel, the devotees were living in hotels. We couldn't get a place, because every time we would start to rent a place, either the landlord would object, because we were Hare Krishna, or the neighbors Well, the landlord would object and put pressure on the landlord. So this kept happening. We couldn't get a place. And it had to be a fairly big place because we had several devotees. So finally we found a place that was suitable. A little expensive, but it was the only thing we could find. And the good thing was that the owner was out of the country, lived in Italy. So we didn't have to worry about it. So we got everything all arranged, and we went to the lawyer's office to sign all the papers. So his lawyer, the owner's lawyer was there, and our lawyer was there, and we were at our lawyer's place. And just, we were about to sign the papers, and we had been looking for months and months, living in hotels. It was difficult, it was expensive, and we finally found a place. So just as we were about to sign, somehow or other, the owner's lawyer became insulted by our lawyer. I don't know what happened, but he stormed out. He walked out of the office and said, "That's it, finished. I'm not signing anything, nothing." And that was the end of our place. So after months of looking, searching, this was all we could find, and that was the end. So we were wondering, I was wondering, you know, why did this happen? You know, what's going on here? But anyway, we had to keep looking. So we kept looking, and not too much longer, we found another place about 3 times bigger and half the price for about 3 times the length of the lease. And it went through very easily. So we were thinking of, Krishna must want the first place. But Krishna didn't want that place. Krishna had a better place in mind. But if we were attached, imagine the anxiety we'd be in, thinking, oh, this was the only one. There's nothing better. Why did Krishna do this? Or whoever did it. But no, we have to remember, Krishna's in control. Prabhupada wrote me a letter once. He said, who God is can be summarized in 5 words only. Krishna is the supreme controller. If you understand this and preach it, then that'll be the best service for the world. So we need to always remember that. Krishna is the supreme controller. I'm not the controller. I may think this is good for me, but actually it's not. Another example. Prabhupada, he was married, but he wasn't very fond of his wife. So he was thinking of a different wife. Perhaps this was before he got married. He had another girl in mind, Prabhupada. So he told his father, you know, I don't find this one that you're arranging very attractive. I prefer this other one. And his father told him, better you take the one that you're not very much attracted to. It'll be easier for renunciation later on. So Prabhupada did that, and actually it turned out to be true. Because Prabhupada took Vanaprastha and Sannyas later on. If he hadn't have done that, where would the rest of us be? Where we'd all be, you know, on our fast track to hell. So Bhakti, his father gave him good advice. Don't just act according to your sense desires, but act according to Krishna's plan. So we don't know what Krishna has in mind. A pure devotee knows, but we don't know. So we have to just try our best and depend on Krishna. And whatever happens, that's fine. We may think, oh, it'll be wonderful if I live to be 97. But maybe Krishna doesn't want me to live to be 97. Maybe that's... So I'm thinking it would be wonderful, but maybe it wouldn't be wonderful. Maybe it would be better that I live to whatever age Krishna wants. So we should always think like that. Whenever someone would ask Prabhupada, are you coming? When are you coming to such and such place? Or are you coming? He said, if Krishna desires. He would never say, yes, I'll be there on such and such a day. If Krishna desires. He even didn't expect that everything was going to go according to his plan. Krishna has his plan, and a devotee is always satisfied with that.
We may not desire to look to 97, but because it's been a major struggle and it continues to be somewhat of a struggle, we are thinking, let me cash in my chips, whatever I've earned in Krishna consciousness, and it'd be good if I could leave today or tomorrow. But also Krishna.
Krishna tadiya parapangaja panjarandam adyaiva vishutume manasarajahamsa. Prana prayana samaye kapavata pitai kantavaro dhanaviro smaranam kutaste.
Oh, King Kulashekhar said like that. Let the swan of my mind enter into the lotus stem of the lotus feet of the Lord. Let me give up this body now while I'm fit, because when I get close to death and my throat gets choked up with cough and my mind is uncontrollable, how will I be able to chant your holy name?
Is Strotra Ratma 43 part of a book?
I think it is part of that book, yes. Okay, next verse.
Text 57, translation. In the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. Purport. There is always some upheaval in the material world which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in a perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi.
That's an important point to understand, that whatever Krishna wants is the absolute good. And the so-called good and bad of this world, according to the estimation of society or the estimation of mundane religious formulas, or the estimation even of my mind, these things are of no value. The only thing that's of value is what Krishna says is good. So therefore, there's no question of being influenced by the dualities of the material world, good and bad. Sometimes, if you live in one country, then if you're in favor of communism, it's very bad. I remember in America during the 50s, they had a slogan, better dead than red. Red meant communist. It was a horrible. In fact, if you were a communist or had any links with communism, you could be seriously put in prison. Whereas if you're in Russia, to be a communist is a very good thing, isn't it? Anyone who lived in the communist regime, do you remember, Tucker? Was it communist during your youth? So communism was a good thing. If you were a communist, that was considered good by the people of Bulgaria. But by the people of America, it was considered bad. So this good and bad, it just depends on where you are. If you step over the line, if the line is going down this side, If you step on this side, it's good. If you step on that side, it's bad. So this is all mental concoction, what is good, what is bad. One man's food is another man's poison. What may be apparently good for one is bad for another. For example, solid food for most children is very good. But someone who has typhoid or some disease, if he eats solid food, he dies. So is the food good or bad? Anyway, you get the point. Duality doesn't exist for a Krishna conscious person because he simply does what Krishna wants and he knows that that's the perfect good. Krishna never asks anyone to do anything bad. But can anyone think of any bad thing that Krishna never asked someone to do? He's got a bad thing that Krishna asked. We'll see how bad it was.
Who is the causes of our sinful activities? Who want from us to perform the sinful activities?
Oh, that's a very philosophical answer.
Yeah, this is
no, it is
Krishna also.
No, it's a good philosophical question. He said that who is it then, if Krishna, I asked, did Krishna ever ask anyone to do something bad? And he's saying, what about our sinful activities? What about our sinful desires? Who are they coming from? Well, they're not coming from Krishna, that's for sure. They're coming from the living entity. The living entity has free will. Ichcha dvesha samutena. It's the ichcha, the desire of the living entity. It's not Krishna's desire. You can't blame it on Krishna. Krishna is seated as neutral, like a judge. You can't blame the judge for the activities of the criminals. Or even a father. He raises his children very nicely to do the right thing. How can you say that the father is responsible if the son does something bad? Question there? Hold on, you have to raise your hand. We have a question back here. It's nice you're enthusiastic.
This question's from North Carolina. I live in a home that my family does not practice Krishna consciousness. Although I would like for them to follow, is it wrong that I do not feel so attached to the negative comments that they make due to the fact that they don't agree with the path I have chosen?
No, those negative statements are... No, negative statements against Krishna consciousness are not desirable at all. So, you should try your best to avoid doing things that will cause them to make negative statements. That doesn't mean you give up your Krishna consciousness, it just means you try to be very, shall we say, expert, daksham. Daksham means expert. How to... practice. The perfect example in this regard was Raghunath Das Goswami. Now Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a zamindar, means landholder, tax collector, Mujumdar, Govardhan, and his brother. His father and his father's brother were very, very wealthy. So, he had unlimited wealth, practically, and they married him to this angelic, beautiful girl. So you can just imagine, here he has incredible wealth, and he's married to this beautiful, angelic woman, girl. And loving family, and they're giving him all this. But he fell in love with Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. He didn't want any of this. He didn't care for the money, or the woman, or the family, or anything. He ran away and joined Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. But Lord Chaitanya sent him back. Why did he send him back? Because the spiritual master knows best. He sent him back and he said, don't be crazy. Don't act like a crazy man. Just be patient, serve there, and you'll get delivered. Lord Nityananda will take care of you. So he went back, and he understood the Lord's instruction very carefully. He acted just like an ordinary businessman. But in his heart, he was fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So there was even one incident where his father and brother were, they had done some embezzlement. They had done some, business, goons, they always do something a little under the, not exactly correct. So they had something wrong. So now the government man came there to find them, but they heard about it and they left. But then, Raghunath was there. So, and it turned out that the government man was a Muslim, because at that time India was controlled by Muslims. It was managed by Muslims, so it was a Muslim. And he was saying, where are they? They owe me so much money. And Raghunath, he took care, he appeased him very nicely, said, I'm just like your son, and how can you, do this? And he spoke so sweetly, so nicely, that the Muslim was captivated, and he just went away, everything was okay. So that was an example of being in a very difficult situation, full of opulence, which was contrary to his way of life. He wanted to be a renunciate. Later on, he did become one of the six Goswamis. But for the time being, he was instructed by Lord Chaitanya, you externally, you play the role as if you're a businessman, as if you're a householder, but internally, you keep your mind on Radha and Krishna. The example is given that there's two examples, both involve a woman. One of them is the woman, when she's walking, in India you see they carry big pots on their head. Has anyone seen that? Huh? Every day. So they're carrying these big pots on their head. So she's walking, and she's doing so many things. She's talking, she's speaking, she's looking, but she never forgets that she has the big pot on her head. So she keeps the balance. So, similarly, one may be dealing in the material world, but he should never forget that he's carrying Krishna. It's for Krishna. Even externally, he may be doing so many things.
As you have talked about these desires, I was thinking that we are as eternal living entities, and we have always some desire.
We're seeing the deities every day?
No, we are all living entities.
We're living entities.
And we have all time some desires.
We have desires.
And how can we know, how can we correct our desires when we do not know what Krishna wants from us?
You don't know what Krishna wants from you? Why don't you know? That's why we read Bhagavad Gita. That's why we're hearing from the acharyas. They're telling us what Krishna wants from us. Krishna wants manmana bhavamad bhakto majaji mam namaskuru mamai vaishyasi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. You don't know what Krishna wants? That's what he wants. Summarize in four. Did you have one? There's one here. Over here.
Could you explain a little bit about when we the stage beyond the mental platform, like on the activities of the soul in devotional service, when we are on the mental platform or the bodily platform, we always kind of use the mind as our counselor, or it's kind of in between also, the mind is there as our reality, let's say. So how is it on, how does it work on the platform beyond that?
Yes, the next platform beyond the mental platform, that's called Manomaya, but the next stage is Gyanamaya, where one is using intelligence. In other words, the mind may say, hey, the senses are saying we should go buy some nice food in the, you know, out in the restaurant. So the mind says, well, that's what the sense. So the intelligence can't figure it out. The mind says, well, that's what, so I can figure out how to do it. The mind says, all we have to do is, I just tell the arms, turn the steering wheel that way, put the foot down on the gas, go that way, put the hand in the pocket, give the money. That, the mind can do all that. But the mind can't figure out whether it's right or wrong.
Hare Krishna.
But the intelligence can decide what's right and wrong. Intelligence says, hey, wait a minute. This is not right. We're going to go eat that food. It's not offerable to Krishna. That's sense gratification. That's not going to please Krishna. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? One who prepares food for sense gratification verily eats only sin. Let's give it up. Let's go take prasadam at the temple. So that's intelligence. And when the intelligence is guided by the soul, and the soul is guided by super soul, then you're properly situated. So everything that a devotee does is coming from high authority. He doesn't act whimsically according to the sense impulse. The impulse of the senses. It's like he sees a beautiful young lady and he thinks, oh, I'd like to have her company. No, he says, wait a minute. I'd like to have her company. What is this? I'm not this body. I'm not a male. This is sense gratification. I've already had this millions of lifetimes. Nayam deho deha bhajam de loke kastan kaman arhate vidbujam ye. My life is not meant for that. That's the activities of the dogs and the hogs. I should act on the spiritual platform. Tapo divyam bhuttaka yena sattvam. Ramasokyam tvanantam. So that's intelligence that's been purified by being linked in yoga with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does that answer? Any other questions? Continue.
Text 58. Translation. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness.
This is a nice example, a nice analogy, because it has an animal in it. We all like animal. Right? So, let's all make like a turtle, a tortoise, that's walking.
All right.
He's got it. Look, he's really got it. Alright, he's walking. Doesn't the head go a little bit like this too? Alright. Now what happens when the turtle senses some danger? Yeah, look, he's got it. He puts the head inside the shell. Head and the arms, legs, tail. Even the tail goes in, isn't it? The whole thing goes inside. So that's what Krishna is recommending. We should be like a tortoise. When it's time to use the senses, they're out there. The arms, the legs, tail, head, everything. But when there's danger, pull it all in. Everyone agree with that? Anyone disagree? Now some people say,
They say, well, sure, if you run away from difficulties, you know, you can think yourself spiritually advanced, but you're just a coward, you're running away. Why don't you stay and show us that you're really spiritually advanced and that you're not interested even when the opportunity is there. You ever heard that argument? All the parents say that. They say, sure, if you just run off to some monastery off in the, you know, out in the Himalayas, on Paseo, then you can keep yourself in some kind of, you know, spiritually, you know, like, what is it? What is that animal puts his head in the sand? Yeah, just like an ostrich, you keep your head in the sand so you can think yourself very renounced. But what is your renunciation? Why don't you live in the world like the rest of us and let's see if you can be renounced then. So what do you say to that argument?
An alcoholic going to a bar, it's going to be difficult, alcohol. And it's killing him. So, if you understand that you're honest with yourself, okay, I'm not so strong, but I really understand that this is not healthy. It's not going to be good for me. So better I do keep myself in a secure situation so I can become strong and healthy.
It's a good analogy. It's a very good example. Because how many people would recommend that an alcoholic go into the bar just to show that he's... just to prove... In fact, why not take one drink? Take one drink just to prove that you can do it. No, that's not a good... Not very many people would recommend that. They would say, yes, he's an alcoholic. If he starts drinking again, it ruins his whole life. It ruins his family, his health, everything. Better keep him away from the bar. What does he need the bar for anyway? Huh? That's the point. What's the use in going in a bar? It's bad for you. So similarly, what's the use in interacting in the material world? What is the good of it? What do I gain? Let's say I want to mix with everyone to show that I'm detached. What do I gain from that mixing? Give him a microphone.
You have a chance to give away the Krishna the Hare Krishna cards. You have a chance to get people into the temple. You have a chance to play. There's lots of ways of bringing people to Krishna consciousness while you're out there in the world. There's lots of good things out there. It's just but that's if you know about it already. But then you have a defense mechanism. It's a bit easier, you know, being out there.
I'll address that in just a minute. Let's let him.
What is my gain here? I'm in material world. I feel very good. I live like Krishna. I'm Krishna. I can have many women. I can have money. I can have nice house and independence. This is a nice place.
How about the divorces? Is it nice when you get divorced and you're paying?
You can take another better woman.
No, better woman, but you have to pay for the first one. 50% of all your earnings for the rest of your life. Lose the children. How do you like that?
If we are intelligent, we maybe not pay. You raise the
children, now you've lost. The children are not in your hand. And not only that, but how about getting old? How do you like when your body starts falling apart? You get prostate cancer, and you get double, triple bypass, and you get cancer, heart disease. How do you like those things?
We will think then.
You'll deal with it then, but what if it comes now? It doesn't wait for you to have the solutions. What about car accidents? Every day so many thousands of people are getting killed in car accidents.
Let's be...
Today we were driving.
Let me be...
Ramachandra and I were driving today, and there was a big accident. Probably some people got killed in that accident. Just right here, just on Troost. So every day it's happening. Now, regarding that statement, if you interact with the material world for preaching purposes, for spreading Krishna consciousness, then you're protected by Lord Chaitanya. That's right. Over there.
Another question from North Carolina. Can a person ever be too withdrawn or too detached from sense objects?
That's a nice question. We were just speaking about that. Krishna says, Vishayavanivartante niraharasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param durushtvanivartate. That the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. Ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness. So, detached about Raghunatha, he was trying to be detached, but Lord Chaitanya said, stay in the Sodar ashram and use that for Krishna's service. Same thing with Arjuna. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, but he was trying to be like a Brahmana. Why try to be a Brahmana? You're not a Brahmana, you're a Kshatriya. So Krishna asked him to fight. Arjuna wanted to renounce the battlefield, wanted to renounce the whole fighting business, the kingdom even. Krishna said no. So when Krishna says that you should be attached, then you shouldn't be detached. That's artificial. One time, there was he was the son of Manu. His name was Priyavrata. And he was a very, very saintly person. And he became more saintly by the association of Narad Muni. Narad Muni preached him to become a renunciate, a sannyasi. And when Narad Muni preaches, he's very convincing. So Priyavrata was all set to be a sannyasi, and his father was very upset. Oh no, my son, I was going to retire from managing the whole kingdom, and he had a big kingdom, and I was going to turn it over to my son. Now my son's going to take sannyas. How will I get out of my situation? So he went to Brahma. Manu went to Brahma and asked Brahma to come with him. So Brahma and Manu came. And there was Narad Muni and Priyavrata, and then comes Brahma and Manu. So Narad Muni and Priyavrata, they paid their obeisances because Brahma's senior. And Brahma said, Priyavrata, better you become a grihastha. Better you do the family business and you manage the whole kingdom and let your father become renounced. He said, but then Priyavrata said, but how am I going to get out of this material world? And he said, no, don't worry. Krishna will protect you. So even Narad Muni accepted that because it came from higher authority. So there may be some good sometimes in not giving up our position of so-called attachment. Actually, a devotee, he's not really attached to these things, but it may appear that way to the public. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai.
We'd like to thank everyone from around the world for attending the Rupanuga Vedic College Evening Bhagavad Gita Discourse. We'd like to remind everyone that we do offer a 3-month program in Applied Vedic.